here. So, good. Well, why don't you guys, first of all, welcome again. Nice to see you all, and certainly great to see you guys here. And I've got to go to Matthew chapter 13. You know, our Lord and Savior went through an awful lot. And I'm amazed that the Son of the one true God, who had His Spirit, who had His love, who had everything that, you know, the best of the best, and came to deliver and to heal and to bless and to bring eternal life to everyone, was treated so badly. I mean, so incredibly badly. You read chapter 12, which we're not going to do, but if you do read it, they said, oh, you're casting out devils and healing people by the spirit of the devil himself, Beelzebub. And they disrespected him. They hated him. And find me something that he did that really was worthy of that. You know, you read the entire gospel record and you can't find anything except them attacking him, especially the religious leaders. You know, and if he didn't give you what they wanted, you know, whether it was food or, you know, do a miracle for me, and you know, and it wasn't the proper time. I mean, they turned on him. They turned on him like you turn a page. Didn't take anything. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God today, just as much involved with our lives and being just as disrespected by this world. You know, it's an incredible thought. Can you imagine the patience, the love, and the love God had to give his Son and to watch all this happening? So when I consider these things, and then I get to this record here of Matthew 13, it puts it in a context. You know, so it's the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell on the stony places, where there had not been much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because there had not been depthness of earth. And when the sun came up, they were scorched, and because there was no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I love that. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are you. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Parables are parables are a figure of speech, and the point of it is to show this in the senses realm is just like this in the spiritual realm. It's a simple story, and it's a comparison. And some of the parables, they're absolutely true. You know, like some of the ones we will read here, they're absolutely true. They're plainly understood. They're, you know, very plain things that happen in daily life. And others of them are stories that are made up, you know, just to make a point. But the point is, they are also a judgment, Jesus says here. This judgment is that I'm going to speak to you in parables because you got eyes, but you can't see. And you got ears, and you can't hear. And this is a fulfillment of what Isaiah had said. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ says, you don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest they turn and rend and hurt you. And the pearls were the word of God. You don't cast your pearls before people who really hate you. And this is where it's come to here in Matthew chapter 12, where they really got to the crescendo of they have rejected the Christ, literally to the end, where they say that he's casting out spirits and healing people because he's got a devil spirit. So the Lord is kind of like, okay, we're going to change things up. This is not really early in his ministry. This is later on, this record here. Early in his ministry, he preached to them about the kingdom of God. You can read the Sermon on the Mount, and you can see he talked to them in plain English or Hebrew. You know, the language in which he was speaking at that time. But as things went on, he spoke more and more in parables. And the only people that got it were the people that asked him, what is this about? I mean, his men were shocked that he was talking to them in parables. You got all these people in front of you, and you're going to give them this opaque thing of a story of ground. And yeah, because, you know, I don't want, the word of God's too precious. And if you really want to know it from this point on, you really have to ask the Lord, what do you mean here? You have to ask. I get so many people that wonder, what is this teaching about? And yet they don't take the time to ask. I get, you know, you read the records like in Genesis and stuff like that. I mean, I've been asking questions for so many years. And sometimes I always ask God, what is this? But then I always try to find somebody who knows something, and there's always somebody who knows more than me, especially early in the ministry, when I was just starting to learn the Bible. And you got to be humble enough to ask and seek, and you'll find. But this is where these guys are at. But I want you to notice this verse 12 again, because this is also a judgment. Now, when I mean a judgment, I really mean a judgment. We're in Matthew 13, for those of you who have just joined us. In verse 12, this is a real... And remember, every word that the Lord Jesus Christ spake was given to him of his Father. He said, the things that I speak, that's what the Father has given me. The things that I do is what the Father wants me to do. This is not just casual conversation. This is what's going to be. So when he says, whosoever, and this is in verse 12 of Matthew 13, whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. So, the more you seek the word of God, you know, this is the way I understand it. The more you study, the more you seek, the more you take this serious in how you hear God's word and how you apply it in your life depends on whether you will get more and more and more, or whether you will start to erase the things that you once had. And I have watched, not that this church is the final say in anything, but I've had people who were in this church a long time, and then they went away. You know, they just drifted away, and they didn't pursue the Word of God from that point on many years. And then you have a conversation with them, and all of a sudden they've forgotten the basic, fundamental things. They don't even know what evil is anymore. They don't know, you know, what anything is, because it's been taken away. Unless you renew your mind and continue to renew it with the truth, it will eventually, what you once knew, will disappear, because it's a judgment. If you treat this thing like it's, you know, it's not that important. This is spiritual. And this parable lays it out for everybody. So when he says here in verse 18, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Understand what this is. And he's talking to his men at this point. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one that catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives the seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into the stony places, the same is he that hears the word. This is, you really hear it. Hears the word. And anon, immediately, with joy, he receives it. We're praising the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, everything. Look at what we found here. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises for the because of the word, by and by, immediately, he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. Remember, they all hear this wonderful word of the kingdom. They all hear it. The first guy, his ground, this is what you got to ask yourself the question. What kind of ground are you? Are you like hard as a rock and the word just bounces off? Are you a person whose ground is just, you just got a little bit of depth and you're all emotion and you're all excited, but there's nothing, you're just an inch deep. And as soon as something comes up, wow, man, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Some kind of persecution or, you know, and it's for the word's sake. Verse 22, he also that receives the seed among the thorns, that is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. See, when you hang out among the thorns and you're hanging out in the world, and it talks about just straightforward here, the deceitfulness of riches, they just choke the world, the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he that receives the seed into good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 106 and some 60 and some 30. You can find this parable also in Luke 8 if you want to see it. But what kind of ground? See, the word that's being read here this morning or spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ or the prophets or the apostles, they're the same words. Now, we might have to work a little harder because, you know what, some of these English words that we use maybe were not translated quite properly. So we have to look into it more deeply even because of that. But they're words. They're words. And once you get to that word, how do you hear it? What is it? What kind of ground are you? And are you going to stick to the point where you bear fruit and manifest it right to the harvest? And whatever, however much ability you have or whatever it is, whether it's 30, 60, or 100, you're just giving forth your fruit. It's not that you got, you know, I mean, there's some people who got more than others. Well, maybe they've been around longer than others. The point is, you got to bring forth your fruit. You got to have your depth. You know? But to him that hath, it shall be given. And to him that hath not, you know, you don't hear it real well. You hear it, but you're as hard as a rock, or you got no depth, you're just all emotion, or you're going to grow up in the weeds here with letting the pleasures of this world rip the word out of your life and choke it off. You have to choose the ground that you are. And the whole point is to bear fruit. And you got an adversary. See, it said in the first one, the wicked one comes. That's who's against you hearing the word and keeping it. You got a personal adversary who does not want you to bear fruit to God Almighty. And you just have to understand that. Then look at this other one, verse 24, in another parable. put he forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sows good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares, weeds among the wheat, and went his way. He just throws these weed seeds up in the field with the wheat, and he takes off. He don't have to work on this at all. The weeds will do their job, right? If you ever had a piece of ground, my weeds are always talking to me. <They're> all... And they just show up. I didn't put them there. They just show up. But the enemy put them there, and he goes away. Verse 26, But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares, the weeds also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From hence, whence then hath it tares, has it weeds? And he said unto them, An enemy had done this. And the servant said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather them? And he said, Nay, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. You ever wonder why? I mean, look at this. This is beautiful. Farm. God Almighty is the one who owns the farm. He's got servants. Everything he did was good, right? Genesis chapter 1. Very good. He sowed what he sowed, and the enemy came and threw the weeds in there. And we are pretty much in a field, you're pretty much overwhelmed with weeds. So what is the here it is. God has got the wheat. There's going to be a harvest. God says, you know what? Don't go out and pull out the weeds now, because you might destroy some of the wheat, the things that belongs to him. Let both grow together, and then at the time of the harvest, we'll separate them. And you know where this is going here. One's going to be burned, the other is going to be brought into the barn and belong to the Lord, the farmer. But why does God allow the evil now? Because you know what? Maybe if you take out the evil now, there would be a loss of some of his wheat. And he ain't going to put up with that. They belong to him. You know, if someone in my family, and I know a little bit about my family, I know a little bit about my life. If God dealt with me according to my works and according to the evil that I had once upon a time in my life, I might not be here. And then my children might not be here. And the people I've been able to teach, and if I've been able to bless anybody, they would not have received it. If everything got an immediate judgment, I don't think there'd be too many people on the earth at all. But ultimately, God's got a plan. The adversary, he is the one that's sown the evil in this world, and he's the one that deserves to be, instead of people saying and judging God, and why does God allow this? The stupid things that come out of their mouth. It ought to be, look at what the adversary, the devil, has done to that which was good that God designed. That would be the smart way to put it. But do you see? Simple, beautiful story. And you know, a lot of the things, like I just did the wedding the other day. God's got marriage. He designed it. He tells us what it's about. He tells us what it's supposed to be about and designed to do. And then he tells us centuries later that, well, this is the oneness that I want with my people. He uses the illustration of what he designed and gave the first people in the sense of marriage, that companionship, the oneness that he wanted, that the two would become one flesh. And then he shows us in Ephesians and in the mystery in the epistles that this oneness is what I want with my people. That's why I've given you my spirit, so that we could be one. As God was with Christ, he wants to be with us in that same oneness. But the illustration is that of marriage. You know, so many, almost all the things, the same thing with the resurrection. You know, in Corinthians 15, it is the seed that goes into the ground that has to corrupt. That seed dies, and then it springs forth as a new, it don't look like it. When you put that little piece of corn, that kernel of corn into the ground, and it deteriorates and dies, it springs up as a stalk and has hundreds. It produces hundreds more kernels. And a beautiful plant. And it doesn't look anything like the one that you put in the ground. You got this thing that's 6 feet tall, 8 feet tall, with beautiful fruit on it. The time of the resurrection. You know, these things are in our face. And talk about faithfulness in the scripture. God says in Jeremiah, you know, I made a covenant with day and night, that there will always be day and night. And he says, if you can break the covenant that I made with day and night, then you can break the covenant that I made with David, that he will always have a king to sit on the throne. These things teach us every morning. You know, we sing these songs. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, most of the words come out of the Bible. You know, morning unto morning. It just shows God's faithfulness. It shows that his promises are true. It shows that the things that he has made, he has given us as examples and illustrations of what he wants us to understand. And you don't, you know, just because I'm a kid from Queens that had concrete around me all the time, I can still understand this. Maybe I never farmed, but I can still understand it. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. Verse 31, and he's on a roll here, the Lord. So he's going to speak another parable unto them. And another parable put he forth to them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. It's the smallest of all seeds. but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So the kingdom of God is like unto. Again, there's the comparison. You must understand the parable. It's a practical story. Many times it's true to life, not every time. But it's the comparison. You can't just say, okay, well, the seed, the mustard is, and go off on your own tangent. No, he tells you exactly what you're supposed to think. The mustard seed is the smallest of all, and yet it grows into this magnificent tree that the birds live in. The kingdom of God is like that. It starts off really small. Compared to the amount of people on the earth and the amount of people that believe and understand the kingdom. First of all, when Jesus was speaking it, it was really a small group. Even the religious people who had heard the messages before, they all rejected him because they didn't have the truth. They misunderstood the whole point. There was only a handful. There was only a handful that God could show when he was born. He had the shepherds in the field. There was only a handful that knew that there was a king that was going to be born, that came, the Magi that came from the Persian Empire, Babylon. All right, that traveled all that way to get there. There was only a handful of his followers that followed him. Even in that record of chapter 12, you know, mom and his brothers come seeking for him, and he says, who is my mother and who is my brother? But these, my disciples. You know, they weren't exactly the most supportive people all the time. They didn't understand. You know, Mary's human being. You know, she's like most moms. We're watching all this uproar. This can't be good. But I don't know what was in Mary's head and heart. All I know is that there was times when she followed, knew he was who he was. She hid it in her heart. And then there was times when she doubted until he was crucified, and then she followed. You know, just because you're related doesn't mean you get it. Just because your kids sit in fellowship doesn't mean that they're really seeking it on their own. Just because you hear, what kind of ground are you? Everybody hears. The important part is you decide what kind of ground you are. Then he says, I'll do a couple more. Just because I love them. I love these parables. Verse 33, and another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. What does leaven do? The kingdom is like unto yeast. I don't know how much you take yeast, but they come in these little packets, right? Little tiny packet. You put this thing in a lump of dough. It's a chemical reaction. It infects the entire loaf because there's no place it's not touching every part. The kingdom of God is going to infect everything. The world is going to be judged according to it. The Lord is going to reign over it. But there's no place to hide, because the kingdom will be just like yeast that goes into the dough. It's going to infect the entire thing, and it's no longer the same. Beautiful, simple illustrations. This in the spiritual realm is like this in the physical realm. Or turn it the other way around. This in the physical realm that I'm sharing with you, which every single person in town understands, is how it works spiritually and how it's going to come to pass. You take these and you look at them. They are for the people who hear it, who want to hear. Wow, that's interesting. For the people who are, hard-hearted, hard ground, no depth. Wow, that's cool. And then when something comes up, they're gone. The one gets involved in the world, it's all choked away. But it's only the ones that, hey, this kingdom is coming, and it's going to dominate. And there's no way to lose it. There's no way it's not going to reign and infect every single corner of everything. That's a powerful thought. And then all these things spake Jesus unto them in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went unto the house of, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. We don't get it. I want to make sure we get it. Tell us what this means. So you get the exact answer that God, he interprets his own parable for them. You don't go and make up your own stuff. You let the word interpret itself. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares, they are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers, they are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and they shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then he goes on and continues to share with them more parables. And I suggest that you read the rest of this record today, and enjoy it. And if you got questions, ask somebody who might know a little bit more. Don't just sit around and, it'll show up sometime. No, you ain't going to live that long. I ain't going to live that long. I remember. It's just something that you should never take for granted. you know? If you're hungry, you want to know, ask. You will be filled.